Hello, Maura.
Hello, Charlotte. How are you?
I'm good. So
Nice
for a
to
little while, I was worried that because I was going to be the only one.
I hope I didn't leave you hanging for too long.
No.
Good, good. Oh, yes. An excellent thing. Yeah, who is the person you said should attend?
So it was a question I got from a National Lab of Sweden. So it was Kajsa, but I
Okay.
don't know if she has time, and I'm not regularly attending these meetings. So I'm yeah, it
Right.
this might be something you have talked about before.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope if Kajsa has time that she can come because she probably can explain it more clear than I can, but otherwise I will try.
Okay. All right.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello,
Hello,
Martina.
Martina. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. And you?
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, this is not a thing where we take attendance or keep notes. We just sort of we jam.
Yeah. But
So,
that's
and if there's, questions that we want to kind of like all work through to see if we all get the same result,
yeah.
that's what we're here for. So, how was the weather today for you, Charlotte?
Oh, you can see it's dark.
Right.
Yeah, it's but there's 2 more weeks and then it will turn again and get better.
Yes.
But it
Yes.
is th these winter months are a little heavy.
Yes. Yes, they do get to you.
It eventually it do. It every
Yes.
year you try to fool yourself and go out with the dog while it's still daylight and yeah.
Yes.
But
No, I'll be making my drive home to see my family, which will be a 9-hour drive.
oh,
And I'm going to do it on the shortest day of the year. So,
okay. Yeah.
and really, that's not the part that bothers me. It's all of the people who are driving who,
The same and the
don't
same
really
time.
get the whole long distance drive thing.
No. Yeah, but 9 hours, that's a long one. I used to do
It
that
is.
as well,
Yeah.
9, 10 hours, and I could do it even driving alone. But I'd say the past couple of years I have avoided it because I have experienced suddenly being so tired, so feeling having this sense of the car slipping. So,
Yes.
so.
I can understand that.
But hope you will drive,
Oh
have a
no.
safe drive.
Right. Well, I mean, I
Oops.
the Kansas City, Wolfcon in Kansas City,
Yeah,
I drove there because it was an 8-hour drive. I was
Okay,
like,
yes.
I could do that standing on my head, It's a pleasant drive.
Okay,
Just, 8 hours.
The one I'm doing. Yeah, of course I do going to Denmark, Copenhagen, and that's that's just half the time. But I enjoy, put on the radio, just go. I do one
Exactly.
stop or something and just be in this
Right. You have
mode.
you're in this sort of fugue state, this Zen space where,
Yeah,
and
you
nothing
just
bothers you and
no one talks to you. And you don't need to answer anything. Just listen to
Right.
music.
No one is bringing something new for you to deal with,
Yeah.
just
Yes, exactly.
Now in I discovered the term white line fever, which
Oh.
is the term when you're driving for so long
Yeah.
and you just see the little white lines, that separate the lanes and they just keep going. And you just kind of, it's kind of a hypnosis, and you just keep going. But this is also the time of year when, at the end of the drive, I will have to watch out for deer.
Okay,
Meet me not at the
definitely.
intersect.
It's this part of Sweden where I live. Here we have many deers, but also mooses,
Oh, goodness.
really have to
Yeah.
watch out. And we all the other evening I passed a wild boar,
Yeah.
and
Oh, my God.
he was probably more heavy than I am. He was enormous.
Oh,
Then
my God.
I just had my front light of the car,
Right, the headlights.
headlights,
Yes.
and then it just turned its big head towards me, and then, "You shouldn't be driving here." And then I very slow, and then passed, and then
Right,
he was
exactly.
that it was safe, and I was safe.
Right, exactly. So it turned as if to say, you're stopping, right?
Just stay in your lane.
Oh man. Yes, my sister lived for about 15 years up in Alaska. And her first the first visitors they had came up and they were like, you've got to see a moose. We're going to get you to see a moose. And they spent a day looking for spaces to see the moose. And they didn't see anything. They were in a cabin. They're trying to nothing. On the drive home, they nearly ran into one on the road. But yes. So where in Alaska was your mom from, Amelia?
So she was born in Juneau, which is kind of on the southeast coast. And then most of the time she was growing up, she was in Palmer, which is kind of south central, inland by several hours. And actually, the last time I was up there for holidays, because my grandmother still lives up there, she has a crab apple tree in her yard, and there's a
Nice.
moose who always goes there to eat the rotting crab apples.
Well, sure. Rotting
Siblings
crab
all
apples
rage.
are, yes. Well, rotting crab apples are this far away from fermenting, right? So.
Oh, exactly.
So,
Yeah, I'm
you
sure that's
can you
why.
have to be a little careful in the fall that you are not going into your yard and then there's a drunk A drunken
moose.
moose.
I have in my late one evening I had to go out to with the trash, and I have to go through my yard and to the trash bin, and then I he could hear this is suddenly that the kind of the ground were, shaking. I couldn't see a thing because there's I don't have any light in my yard. It's so, but it was a moose definitely jumping out of my
Oh
yard
my
because I
gosh.
suddenly made an
Right. The moose had
appearance.
decided to just leap out of your yard just for the hell of it. Oh my gosh. Yeah, the when I went to visit, my nephew was 2 years old. And we had been teaching him, we'd seen a moose in the, sort of the in the yard beyond the house. And they so we use the word moose, look, it's a moose. And we were teaching him the word. And then he went down for his nap. And in the, when his nap was over, I was looking out the front window, he was looking out the back, and he was saying the word moose. And I turn around and go, yeah, that's where we saw the moose. And I stopped because there was a moose about 15 feet away, nibbling ice off the clothesline.
Okay, so he it was a very useful word he just
Yeah.
learned.
Right. It wasn't a historical thing for him where some mythical thing creature was out there. Nope, that's a thing. That's a moose right there. My sister had to tie up the dog, And what that freed up the cat who decided to stalk the moose.
Okay, yeah, but
You
they are
know.
not scared of anything. They have this self-confidence that is unbelievable.
Well, apparently it was a male who was showing off for the two females who were also like, you know, watching rapt. But yeah, as soon as the moose saw him and took two steps toward him, boom, boom, you know, two bounds under the house, and I didn't see him again for the rest of
All right.
my
Okay.
visit. So I think that he was just showing off.
Yeah, trying to be brave.
Right.
Oh.
Well,
Should I
next.
try to come up with my question?
Sure.
I was so it's about so National Library of Sweden is going live on Eureka. So it will be most likely the Sunflower
Okay.
release they will go live on. And the question that came up was when anonymizing loans, is there a way to, distinct? So some users is not able to see the on the not anonymized loans and others are available.
Cool.
No. So when the loan is anonymized,
Yeah.
the patron's data is removed from the loan record. And so there's no way if you had some higher level of permissions that you could see that anymore because the data has been removed.
So is that does that goes also for the admin account? Because that was the question.
Yeah, so
Okay.
there might be some data on the back end that, so let me think. Yeah, as far as I know, the patron's UUID is removed from the loan record. I think I did see an issue recently, which I think I might need to write a ticket for this. The proxy ID does not get removed, or I saw that recently. I'll need to make sure that's reproducible. But so I think the if the loan was checked out by proxy, that proxy user's ID might stay on the loan, but there's nothing that any higher level of permission could show you. To connect the actual borrower.
Okay. So in National Lab of Sweden's case, this is of course Europe, so it is the GDPR regulations we have to be compliant with.
Right.
But I think the then it might have been not being updated on how this affected the so the very high level of so the admin account. But if everything is removed, then I think then to the best of my knowledge, then NLS is fine.
Okay. So this is not sort of a bug. Oh no, we want our admins to be able to see, but instead, no, we want no one to be able to see after a loan's been anonymized.
Yeah, at least that's how I understood it, but now I
Okay.
need to check in with Kaiser that this is also aligned.
Yeah. I think that's why it was implemented that way, where it completely breaks the connection was to meet GDPR requirements.
So these anonymization it goes only for the closed loans, right? So it's
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah, and you can either at a user level, when you're viewing the closed loan page, you can anonymize manually, or at a system level or at a tenant level rather, you can set a period for automated anonymization. So once the loan is closed, if there's no fee fine, you can have it automatically anonymize.
Yeah, so I went in and checked on the docs.folio.org to see these that you could set immediately after loan closes or set an interval after or click never. But NLS will of course use one of the two first.
And when you're anonymizing loans manually, you can't anonymize loans if they have fee fines associated with them. That has to happen through the automated process. And in the settings, you can set a different like time period for that anonymization. So for example, at the five colleges, if there are no fee fines, I believe we're anonymizing after a week or two. But if there are fee fines because of our record keeping laws, we have to retain those for 2 years. Any loans with associated fee fines don't get anonymized for another 2 years.
But that makes sense. You need to have time to see if you can get your money back. Yeah, but thank you so much. That was the question.
Excellent. And at the five colleges, we're currently working on developing the request anonymization, but that is not there yet. But the goal is to have that.
Anonymizing requests rather than requesting anonymization.
Yes.
Okay. Maura has fun with syntax and word.
And there, I think there might be some. So if you're thinking about GDPR requirements, I think there might be some issues with fee fines not being able to be anonymized. I think it's, yeah, there's some way that the user ID connection to the fee fine could give you a connection to a specific loan that the user made, but I'd need to look into that again to see how that connection exists. Because, yeah, I just know that there aren't any changes made to the fee fine records. And I think it's specifically if you're using actual cost, those actual cost records don't get changed to remove user data.
That's good to keep in mind. And then, yeah.
Yeah, because those, I'm just looking at it now in our production environment. The actual cost billing records include both the loan ID and the user's information, and oh, and the item ID or item information directly. So yeah, that could have some privacy implications.
Okay, so how many holes do we have in this? We've got the user ID in fee fines, and we've got the proxy ID in anonymized loans. Are those the only two?
I think so. The circ log entries, I believe, are anonymized thoroughly. notices are never anonymized, so it's
Okay.
possible.
Right. So
But
notices
there is a
is
connection
not
there.
anonymized, because if we do, is was that what you said? Because,
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm
because I
not sure.
think, yeah, if you then, if you, whenever a checkout is being, yeah, if you get a notice for every checkout you do, then that's kind of on the record then. And then you would be able to, identify the user on each loan. Backtrack.
Yeah, I'm not sure if these records. So the ones that I'm looking, which I'm not sure what these notices are triggered from. I'm just looking in Snapshot. The notices I'm seeing here are from a test event, so I'm not sure what that means. But there aren't item barcodes on that, at least. So I'm not sure if that's the case for those checkout
Okay, all
notices,
right,
but
okay.
that might be worth looking into. Okay, yeah, I'm looking in production, and it does include user and item barcodes on those notice sent records.
Well, that's kind of necessary for notices, isn't it?
Yeah. It seems like it would be good since I think it would be very complicated to have the loan anonymization and a check through the circ log for notices connected to the loan to anonymize them. But maybe this is something where we could approach it from like the user side and have like a anonymized data for that user, and then it could go to the circ log and just look for things with that user's barcode and remove the barcode. Something like that, where instead of trying to do it like when the loan is anonymized, go through and find all the little side records that were created from that loan,
Yeah,
let it just be the whole user.
because you can say the circ lock is so more or less most people in the library can see all the circ lock, right? So this will be a huge kind of insight in the data in the circ lock. So if you as a staff are looking at a given patron's user barcode and then simply enter that in the circ lock, then you would see a lot of information, including all the notifications, which are then not anonymized.
So maybe it would make sense to have a anonymized circ log entries action that you could take from a user record or yeah, something like that to clear out the user data, I think could be good.
Well, I didn't mean to turn this into an RA SIG.
No,
That's
sorry. It's all my question, and I'm not normally
okay.
in these Eureka meetings, so but
I just hate for us to think, oh, we've talked about this, we know what we want to do, and then it's not in RA SIG, one of the fun parts about, public service in libraries is when someone is talking about a thing and they can't remember what it is or where they saw it, but they know that it's out there and probably inside the library somewhere. And then, you have to figure out by letting them just sort of like talk it out. Figure out what it is they mean. Is it a physical object? Is it an idea? Is it, was it something somebody wrote, or are you talking about a chair? And then you have to kind of like figure out what they're talking about and where it might be located, Sort of like that, the story about somebody who wrote to his old, who wrote to his local librarian because he half remembered a story from a children's book. He didn't have all the details. He didn't know the book. He didn't know the title. But this story. And he said, half a day later, I had a scan of that story in my inbox. And it ended with, librarians should run the world. Okay. Right. So is there, do we have any sort of Eureka questions today, or anything that might be a thing that we'd all have to take a look at, or anything like that?
I don't have anything for today.
Yes. I'm likely to spend the next half an hour just, noodling around on the e-testing snapshot post. So I will be here in this meeting, but just messing around in that host, in that tenant, I suppose. There's nothing, I'm having fun, creating the fake users so that I can give them permissions and see what comes, see what happens. So there's
So
yes, we're
all the development we have done here for, you can say, both Sunflower and Trillium, I have been testing in the e-testing environment to make sure it compliant with both Okapi platform and Eureka platform.
No, the we're still making our plans to move. It looks like we're going to migrate to Sunflower and then a few months later migrate to Eureka on Sunflower
Yes,
and
okay.
then go to Trillium.
Yes,
And
yes.
because there's no point in having somebody have trouble doing a thing and then realize that we don't know if it's because it's a new version or if it's because of Eureka.
Yeah, you need to
So,
do it controlled. Yeah.
yes, exactly. So I am now waiting to hear back from the stakeholders. If they can define what it is their staff need to do. We've been working on a lame guess for me since we came up, and if they can tell me with any kind of specificity what their staff do, then we can start experimenting with what those permissions would look like in Eureka.
So that was the whole with this change to permission roles in Eureka was one of the major reasons for that National Lab of Sweden wanted to go on a clean Eureka, so not start with having it in the the old way on
No,
Okapi
no
and all these
pre-existing, right. No, no pre-existing baggage that you
yeah
have to
exactly
carry from one to the other.
yeah
Yeah.
to have it starting out in this but yeah of course then it's also a very it's a dive
Yes, yes.
directly into the deep water but
it's a time-intensive task.
yes
We'll get to see how much fun that is.
But as I've understood it, then it's these roles are, often more directly to given, major areas. So they are, in a way, a very simplistic way to do the permissions compared to how we did in the beginning, where we were super granular.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's sort of like once you can set it up, then you can just sort of add people. And it might even be possible for us to give that to, our HR staff when it comes time to hire someone so that they can, just have it all happen. And then, they don't have to wait for me to catch up. We can make it nice and programmatic. Oh, look, a person works here and they're either staff or student, and there you go. There's the role.
But I have been in this project for so long, so I remember why we
Yeah.
started out being so granular. And that was
Yes.
exactly because we didn't want to go the path as it is in most system and Alma in particular, that
Right.
you more or less had to give your employees manager level in order for them to do the work. But
Right. Exactly.
yeah, but
Yeah. A
but I
lot of
don't.
the, yeah. A lot of permission sets were sort of like, this is what you get and you'll like it. And, But once we start being able to sort of like do our little tweaks, it's useful, but you can't get too carried away. My feeling about it, just because, there's always somebody who feels that if something can be tweaked, then they should tweak it. They should mess with it just a little bit. It's one of the reasons why I have turfed permissions to, almost only me. Because otherwise, these are people who have better things to do, but there's always one per department who will, will be, they'll be somewhere between curious, interested party and agent of chaos.
If the button's there, someone's got to push
You know, I would probably be such a person.
Exactly. Sort of like, you can be curious. That's great.
But if I feel curious like that, then I can always start, experimenting with Postman. So then I get all my curiousness fulfilled.
Yes. Or, that's what test systems are for. You want to do that? That's great.
And that's the best testers if they are thinking a little bit out of the box and say because then you uncover many more things instead of you're just being this.
Oh, hey, look what I discovered. It makes my job so much, it makes my life easier. mostly because I'm having more fun with it. See what I'm doing, and you can eat, that could go in a lot of different directions based on what it is they've decided to do, but
Okay, I think I have another meeting. I've told that now I couldn't do that meeting, but because I was going to this Eureka Lab. But I think now I better go back to the other meeting. So thank you so much for talking with me
All
and
right.
with you.
Thank you. Have a good
Yeah.
meeting.
Yeah.
Have a good one,
Thank you.
Charlotte. Thanks, Charlotte.
Bye.
As long as you're both here. Have you tried any programmatic assignment of Eureka capability sets or roles to users? Or is that just like not something you've been messing with?
So I actually, because I have so many staff that I need to manage permissions for, and I have that permission updating script, I went through and I updated it to work with roles as well.
Wow.
And so it works almost
Nice.
exactly the same way. Well, I guess from the user end, it works pretty much the same way that the endpoints that it's hitting are a little different.
Right. Yeah, did you share your scripting with the dev teams to see if they wanted to sort of like make it as one of their regular extensions on GitHub? Or I know that you had your original one on GitHub.
So this is still just in that same repository, just throw it in the chat. So
Because I really think that work is just, it's so useful and it's so helpful. But frankly, I think it ought to be more widely propagated. I think that, and you deserve credit for it. Just saying.
it's just a simple little thing. I don't know. But yeah, maybe we could link it somewhere on the wiki, or oh, maybe on our Eureka Lab page. Maybe this would be a good thing to put
There
there.
you go. Yep.
Eureka Lab notes. Or, yeah, maybe I'll stick it under the tips and tricks on the roles management with Eureka page.
Yeah.
All right, that is down at the bottom of the page there now.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, it's so nice to be able to just look at a spreadsheet instead of go in user by user or permission by permission. Either way, it's
Yes.
a lot more clicking
Exactly.
and doing through the UI.
Oh, yeah.
Love it with the student permissions because I can get the spreadsheet all set up for like this is the next semester who we're going to have working. And then I just leave the spreadsheet there and run the script as soon as the semester is over and everyone gets their permissions fixed.
Excellent. Oh, that would be great. And it would also be fun to be able to sort of like check before and after a quarter and see who's been marked inactive.
Oh, I don't know
If
if
they
it's
have
my
permissions and
script.
are inactive, then I can check with their supervisor to see what's going on.
So my script doesn't pull up their active status, but that's an interesting idea. Even just to have it give a warning if the user has an inactive status.
Right. Because you can assign permissions when someone's inactive. They just can't log in to use it.
The other thing I like to use it for is because it has a refresh option, I can
Nice.
just add the UUIDs of everyone that I want to look at the permissions for and tell it to refresh, and it'll just populate the spreadsheet with all the permissions or roles that the user's been assigned.
Oh, wow. Yes. That is nice. Is that in roles main?
Yeah, so both of them do that.
Okay.
When you run the script, it'll ask you for which configuration file you want to use. And then afterwards it'll ask if you want to refresh the sheet or apply it. And so if you refresh, it'll even add new columns to the spreadsheet if there are permissions that aren't in there already. Or roles, whichever one you're doing. And then if you do apply, that's when it actually makes the changes. I also, the main reason that I added the refresh was because we have a few staff who get other permissions assigned just because of individual projects they're working on. And I wanted to make sure that I wasn't accidentally removing those extra permissions when I updated records. So before I update our staff permissions. I always do a refresh, so I'm not clearing out some new permission that someone might have gotten.
Right. So your .env file is your source file.
So it's like the configuration file. It has like the URL for your Folio tenant, the tenant ID, the login information for the user that is making the API requests. And then there's it also has the names of the CSV file with the permissions and the CSV file with the service points. And then there's one other value that is, it's essentially how many like blank columns do you want to have before the actual UUID for the user. So for mine, I have it set to two, or the index is set to two. So it gives me three columns of user data. So I put the user's name, department, and for our students, I do like whether they're returning in the fall or like in the for the summer semester. If I know that a student's going to be back in the fall, I'll put a note that they're going to be back. So then in the fall, when I'm going through, I just re-add the permissions there. But you can put whatever you want in those notes columns. Maybe I need to set up a test version of this that doesn't have any sensitive information in it so that I can record a little tutorial.
And have you been able to run that against to run that script against, for instance, the e-testing snapshot or anything like that?
Yeah, so when I was first writing it, I think I was actually testing against Sunflower Bug Fest. But now our like five colleges test environment has been updated to Sunflower. So I've been using it there.
Nice.
Oh, and it also it works off the human readable name. For the role or permission set, not the UUID. So you can just type what you know in there instead of having to look it up every time.
Craziness. Craziness. Well, do we have any questions? I'm just noodling around and, that's what I do with this time, whether there's a meeting or not. I try to noodle around with Eureka permissions. So, I'd be here anyway, but if we feel like we're done, then we're done.
Yeah, I don't have anything else can be done.
I don't have anything else. And thank you, Amelia, for sharing your script. And
Yes, isn't that great?
yes.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And let me know if you need help setting it up if you end up using it. I think I made the README file detailed enough, but who knows? I might be too familiar with it and making assumptions about what makes sense to people. So yeah, let me
Right.
know if something doesn't make sense.
On that note.
So, will our next one be January 14th?
Yes.
Eureka Lab? Okay.
Yes, this is the last one for the calendar year of 2025.
So then, happy holidays. No.
And happy holidays to you
Happy
too.
holidays. Little
Yes.
early, but yes.
You know, holidays can start whenever we want.
That's true.
I've made that rule. And, you know, everybody's disappearing now, so we may as well just go with it. Enjoy the next month because that's when we'll see each other next. And, you know, why not enjoy it?
Are we going to cancel next week's big meeting as well? I'm
I think
fine with
so.
that. I
I
don't
don't
put
think there's
together
much
anything
call
yet.
for it. I thought I'd put out a poll just to see if anybody's got anything to say.
Yeah, that sounds good. If someone has something to bring up, we can talk. Because I'll be around. I know you've got your all staff meeting, but I'll be there Thursday.
That is now in question.
Oh.
I don't know. And I might not know until, you know, the day before. But we'll see. Either way, you know, we'll just say you're in charge of the third Sunday or the third Sunday, third Wednesday of the month meeting. And then I'll just show up as a hype man.
Right. And you'll put the poll about canceling next week. Great.
I'll do it right now.
Awesome.
Right. And on that note, see you all.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye.